week, Parshas Kisetze is a double mitzvah. In addition to being Parshas HaShavua, it's also Parshas Zohar. Whoever missed Parshas Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, can be Yotze with the decree on Parshas Kisetze. We learn the same. It doesn't necessarily have to be Dafka and Parshas Zohar. It's a Takanas Acham to learn of the Shabbos before Purim. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that Kriyas Parshas Zohar is a din deraisa. So you can be Yotze even if it's not the Shabbos before Purim. Yeah. This week is also another Zohar, Zechiras Chet Miriam, Magen Avraham, and Shulchan Arkot, a Yalkut Shemoni, that indicates that this is also one of the 613 mitzvahs. Just like there's a mitzvah to learn Zechiras Chet Amalek, Zechiras Amalek, so too there's a mitzvah to remember the story of Chet Miriam. What exactly is the nature of that mitzvah? The Magen Avraham asks, how come we don't make a big tzimis? How come we don't have a special haftarah? And the Gabbai should make an announcement. Everybody should have a mind to be yotze, and so on. So he says it's a genai to the oisa tzadekis. It's a bizoyan to Miriam that we should make a big tzimis about it. But the Balkari and the Tziba have to have in mind when you learn Parshas Kiseitze, you want to be yotze the mitzvah of Zechiras Chet Miriam. What's so important about Zechiras Chet Miriam? So the Chafetz Chaim has several smaller pamphlets. One of them is Zohar LeMiriam, and he wrote a lot about Lashon Hara. So he quotes from the Tanoim that Zechiras Chet Miriam is to remember that she was punished for speaking Lashon Hara against her brother. Even though she loved her brother, she didn't have anything, she didn't mean anything malicious, but still, she made a mistake and she spoke Lashon Hara, so she was punished with Tzaras. She was punished with Tzaras. Rav Soloveitchik used to be fond of saying over something from Rav Kook in the Siddur Oilas Riyah. After Shachris, they have printed in a lot of Sidurim the Sheish Zechiris that a person should have in mind. So Rav Kook has there, where Rav Soloveitchik presented it. It's hard to believe that that's the Pshutu Shal Mikro, that the Zechiris Chet Miriam is to remember the significance of the Avera of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a terrible Avera. The Gemara has an expression that Lashon Hara is Horek Shloisha, kills three people, kills the one who speaks the Lashon Hara is going to be punished, he's going to burn a Gehenim, the one who listens is going to burn a Gehenim, and the one about whom the Lashon Hara is spoken, you're ruining his reputation, and you can sometimes destroy his marriage, sometimes destroy his parnasa, you can ruin him. So it's Lashon Hara Horek Shloisha. But still, it's not for Nikori HaAmuna. That should be Zechiras Chet Miriam, is to remember about Lashon Hara. So Rav Kook has a suggestion in his Siddur, in the Oilas Riyah, that maybe the Peshat is to remember the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught on the occasion of Chet Miriam, at Parshas Bahaloischa, namely, that the Rambam has a list of the 13 Nikori HaAmuna, what in his opinion constitute the 13 Nikori HaAmuna, so he counts as two separate Ikarim. One is that we believe in the principle of Nevuah, that it's possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate with man. He gives Nevuah. And included, perhaps included in this Ikar in Emunah is the Ikar of Tefillah, that we can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven. Ribbono Shel Olam listens to our davening. There are those philosophers who said logically it's impossible to have communication between man and God. The Baruch Shalom is infinite, man is finite. It's impossible. Impossible hind, impossible morgen. We know that there were Nevi'im, and there are going to be Nevi'im in the future, and there is davening, there is such a thing. So we believe that it is possible. So Nishkin Kasha. So so the Rambam list says one Iker and Amunah, we believe that there can be communication between God and man, between man and God. Then he says, secondly, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanabim. He was the greatest prophet of all times. This was Nizgala, this was developed, this idea was revealed to Bnei Yisrael on the occasion of the Chet Miriam. So Rashi fills in on Parshas Bahaloscha, Rashi fills in from the Sifrei, that when the Shivim Zikenim were chosen, so Moshe Rabbeinu's wife Tzipora gave a krechts. The women were standing together, men were standing together. So she gave a krechts and she said, what are Rachmanas on their wives, that they're going to have to get divorced now from their husbands? So Miriam said, what are you talking about? So she said, since my husband Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen as the big prophet, so I had to get divorced from him. So Miriam said, Vosepis, I'm a Navi, I didn't get divorced from my husband. My brother Aaron HaKohen is a Navi, he didn't have to get divorced from his spouse. What does my brother Moshe Rabbeinu think? He's somebody special, he must be a big Bar Gaiva. Why does he have to be Pirish Menu Isha? So the Baruch Shalom steps in and he says, Lo Kein Abdi Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNavim. He was a greater Navi than all the others. And I told him, I told him to be Pirish Menu Isha. It wasn't that he did it on his own. After Maimon HaSinai, before Maimon HaSinai, so everyone had abstained from their spouses for 3 days. And after Maimon HaSinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Shuvu Lachem Le'olechem, Yatapav Mori Modi. Everyone can go back to their wives, Beis Zawishto, Ahal Zawishto, and I want you to stay here, I want you to separate from your wife. So that was Pel Pel Dababa. I told Moshe Rabbeinu to be Pirish Menu Isha. So that Parsha, that whole story, in Parshas Bahaloscha, that's an Ikir and Emunah. The Rambam considers that a major Ikir and Emunah. The Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than that of the other Nevi'im. Like in Abdi Moshe, that there's a major difference between the two. Well, the Rambam lists off all the differences, and one of the major differences is the other Nevi'im would have a Chazon and a Chalom and a Marah, they would have a vision. They would get the Nevuah, the Chalom, not the Hokits, they would be sleeping, and then they would get a vision, and then they would have to interpret the vision using their own words. And Moshe Rabbeinu got direct dictation. Pel, pel, daba, boy. Direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. That's why we learn Adinim from extra letters, from missing letters in the Chumash. Extra phrases. Our tradition has it that the whole Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, and letter for letter, and everything makes a difference. Every letter counts over here. So that's what the Rambam counts as a separate Ikra and Emunah. One Amika would believe in Nevuah, another Amika would believe in the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's on a higher level of that of the other Nevi'im. What does it mean it's on a higher level? So it's interesting, the Haftorah of Bahaloscha is Neiris de Zechariah. That's the same Haftorah that we say on Shabbos Chanukah. So what's the connection between the Haftorah and the Sedra? And Bahaloscha, so it's usually assumed. A lot of times you have the Chacham made a takana, you should lay in a haftorah, mein yona di yoyma. So sometimes in yona di yoyma is the season of the year, sheb de nechemta, the 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av, is all haftorah, it's about Nechama. Then you have the plus the Poranusa in the 3 weeks, you have about the Nevi'im warning Bnei Yisrael that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Then you have in yona di yoyma is about the tshuva, when it comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur season, the Yom of the Yom is Tshuva. Sometimes when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you lay Hashamayim Kisi. That's the Yom of the Yom. Macha Chodesh. When Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, and usually in Yom of the Yom is if there's a Chosen, there's a Chosen and Shul who just got married, Shiva Simei Mishta. So they used to lay in, they used to have a special Haftorah. Which Haftorah did they say? Which Haftorah is that? We just had it. I forgot. So Sosis, Hashem Tov. That says, we don't have that meaning anymore, but in Shulchan Aruch they quote that meaning. Bali Ateza had that meaning. When there's a Chos in a Shul, so in Yonah Diyayma is that Haftorah. Sosis, Kechosin Yechayim Pier. And usually in Yonah Diyayma is some theme in the Sedra. So usually there's a superficial connection between the Haftorah and the Sedra, and very often there's a deeper connection. So the Haftorah of Bahaloscha, so the superficial connection perhaps is that Bahaloscha is Haneris, Mulpanei HaMenorah starts off about a menorah. And there is the Zechariah HaNavi, who is in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, had a Chalom, he had a Chazon, he had a Nevuah about the big, beautiful golden menorah that was supposed to represent the Bais HaShlishi. He didn't understand it at first until the Malach explained in the Nevuah, in the Chaloim that he had, that this golden menorah represents the Tzuchas Bais HaShlishi. So that's one connection, that's an obvious connection. But then there's a less obvious connection that perhaps is more significant, that the Rambam in the Gemara in the Buchim writes about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevim. His Nevuah was, the Gemara has an expression, Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was Bas Bekloria HaMeira, as opposed to that of the other Nevi'im, which was Bas Bekloria She'ena Meir. So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim wants to bring out this idea. So he says, take a look at Haftorah. This Ner is the Zechariah. The Zechariah Novi was shown a vision. He sees two olive trees, and the olives are falling down, and they're getting crushed. by themselves and forming a big pool of olive oil. And then there are 49 streams of olive oil flowing into the seven cups on top of the menorah. Seven streams of oil flowing into each one of the seven cups. Seven times seven is 49. And in this whole fantastic vision, and he does know what it's supposed to represent. So in his dream, he asks the Malach HaDoivabi, he asks the Malach who's showing him this Nevuah, Mo'ela Adoni, what is it supposed to represent? So he tells him back, Haloyadaita Mo'ela, you know what it represents. So he says again, no, I don't know what it represents. So he gives him an answer which doesn't, we don't understand. And then it takes another perek in Zechariah after the Haftarah is over to explain what it's all about. That the two olive trees represent Shnei B'nei HaYitzor, represent the two personalities who need Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, namely the Melech and the Malchus Beis David and the Kohen Gadol, and this represents a golden period of Beis HaMikdosh, the Beis HaShlishi, the Beis HaSheni. There was no Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. Shem and Amishcha was Nignas by Yoshio HaMelech at the end of the Beis Rishon period, that says in Psukim and Devar HaYomim. So this represents the Tkufas Bais HaShlishi, that there's going to be Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, there's going to be a Melech HaMashiach from the Malchus Beis David, going to have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, and it represents the Bais HaShlishi, B'Kitzer. So the Rambam quotes this Nevuah from Zechariah to demonstrate in a very exaggerated way what it means, Aspikloria She'enim, that the Navi himself didn't understand what the Nevuah was supposed to be all about till he asks the Malach, what does it mean? The Malach says, you know what it means? He argues back and forth till he finally explains it to him. So it could be that's the inyan of the Yom. The connection is that in the Parshas Bahaloscha, this seeker is developed, this seeker in Amunah, that the voice Moshe Rabbeinu is a higher level than that of the other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was Aspeklori HaMeira, that of the other Nevi'im is Aspeklori Shein HaMeira. So the Haftarah that we pick is the extreme example that the Navi didn't even understand what the Mara Nevuah was supposed to represent until the Malach explained it to him. What exactly does this mean, the Aspa Gloria Amir and so on? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. We talked about it last week. There's one of the dinim in Parshas Shoftim is Oivra Divrei Navi Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim. Whoever doesn't listen to the Navi, Nochi Yadrosh Me'imo. So the Menchas Chinuch was bothered with the Kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, so whoever talks Lashon Hara is Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim. Whoever violates any one of the 613 mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu instructed us should be Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim. So how come the list of averus for which Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim is very short? The Gemara Sanhedrin, the Pegimel, quotes a Tosefta, which begins at less than 15, maybe less than 10, I forgot, not so many averus, which Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, so everything that he said should be Misa B'dei Shemaim. So the different answers are given to that kasha. So the generally accepted answer in the last 50 years is what Rav Soloveitchik said. His answer was accepted. Nevuah by definition means Hayru Asho. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes gave Hayru Asho. He said they shouldn't leave over the month. And he said they should knock on the necks of neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach and ask for Matanis before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that was the Hayru Asho. So whoever would violate those instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu would taka b'chai misa b'dei shamayim. But the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu instructed us that are noig l'doros, that's not called nevuah. He got it b'nevuah, but it was aspekloria hamira. When Moshe Rabbeinu got the nevuah not to leave over the mon and to ask the next the neighbors for matanas, that was aspekloria she'en hamira. It wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu always had aspekloria hamira. When he was given the dinim that are noig l'doros, then he got direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. And then it was aspekloria hamira. Whenever he was given a hayru asho, it was a chazon and a chalom and a mara, and he interpreted using his own words. He was sometimes the same as the other Nevi'im, and sometimes he had that higher madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is an ikir and emunah, that if another Navi, the Rambam has this, he brings it out, if another Navi will come along and show osam ofis and demonstrate that he's really a Navi, if he doesn't show osam ofis, so you don't believe him that he says he's a Navi. Maybe he's a meshugana. Shows an awesome office, maybe he's also pulling our leg, maybe he's lying. So the Rambam says, what can you do? Let's say two people come and they testify, Reuven killed Shimon, and they're lying. So Bezin does know that they're lying. Bezin does Rishva Chakira, right? Then Bezin puts the man to death, and maybe that the two Edom are lying. But that's what the Torah says. After doing Rishva Chakira, you should accept the Haggadah Seders of the two Edom, even though it can lead to death of an innocent person. The Torah says we should believe a person that comes, well, see, he looks like he's crazy, but if a person looks like he's normal and he shows osam ofes and it demonstrates that he's a Navi, so the halacha says you have to believe the Navi when it tells you has a hairosha, you should smoke a cigar this Shabbos, you should go shopping this Shabbos, he tells you hairosha to violate one of the dinim in the Torah, or to invest in AT&T, whatever he tells you, to do an avera, whatever the Navi tells you, you have to listen to hairosha, even though he may be a liar, and maybe that's not true, but that's what the Torah says, we have to listen to him. So when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the dinim l'dayrus, he said it baspek lori hamira. Any other Navi who will come after Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to have that level of nevuah. That's what the Torah says. V'lakom Navi avdi soka Moshe, sheido Hashem panim el panim. The Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. Any other Navi who will come, the Rambam refers to Mohabin and also Hoish, that they claim that they got a prophecy, that the laws of the Torah no longer apply. So we don't believe them because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater Navi. No one is going to have the level of Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So that's a crucial ikar in Emunah. But the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. And that it's a din l'dayrus, a hayrasha. Nevuah by definition means a hayrasha, as opposed to dinim mitzvahs. Mitzvah by definition means a tzivu, which is binding throughout all the future generations. Rashi in his commentary on the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Chumash Vayikra, quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifra, Ein tzav l'loshen ziris miyadu l'deris. Whenever something is called a mitzvah, it means it's binding throughout all the future generations. By definition, it's not a hayrasha. Mitzvah means it's not a hayrasha. A dvar nevuah is a hayrasha. That's what Rav Soloveitchik taught is the teretz to the Menchas Chinas Kasha. Oival divrei Navi doesn't mean the man is a Navi. No, you're in violation of a tzivo yav nevuah. Tzivo yav nevuah means by definition a hayruah shah. But whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's noig l'dayres, of course he was a Navi, but that's not called oival divrei Navi. That's called oival divrei Torah. He's in violation of mitzvahs. It's violation of Torah. So in Torah and mitzvahs, you have a whole series of punishments. Sometimes Mises Bezon, sometimes Malkus. Sometimes chorus. Lisa B'day Shemaim is only when it's Oivral Divrei Novi, when it's a Nevuah, or Hayruah Shor. That's called Oivral Divrei Novi. In this week's Sedra, in Parshas Kisetze, you have, in the beginning of the Sedra, you have the din of the Ben Sorera Morea. Starts off with the Yifas Toyar. And then it has the din of Ben Sor Maresa. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. You really shouldn't take Eishes Ifas Torah. You're going to have children from her. They're going to be rotten children. Torah gave you a heter. If you can't control yourself, the Dibur Torah Keneged Yetzor. If the soldier can't control himself, so we permit him to take a Ifas Torah. But we tell him in advance that it's not a smart idea. And if he has children, there will probably be miserable children. I'll have an Eisek with a Ben Sorera Morea. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has one parak of the parak Ben Sorera Morea. So one time there is of the opinion there never was and there never will be a Ben Sorera Morea. The conditions are so far-fetched to have a Ben Sorera Morea. The parents have to be the same height, same facial features, and the same voice. What do you mean she has a male voice or he has a female voice? How can it be that parents have the same height and the same weight, everything the same? It's so far-fetched, how can it be? And how can it be that parents are going to bring their own child to Bezin that they should give him the death penalty, even when parents don't get along with their own children? The whole thing is far-fetched. So one Tana says, there never was and never will be. The other Tana says, not true. I was once in a cemetery, and they told me that this grave over here is Ben Saramar is buried over here. They probably didn't have it on his matzeva, he's a Ben Saramar. But the tour guide said that this one was a Ben Saramar. Another Tana says that there never was and there never will be an Ir Hanidachas. Again, the conditions are so far-fetched, it's almost impossible to have an Ir Hanidachas, a city in Eretz Yisrael, where there isn't even one mezuzah. Unfortunately, now there are a lot of cities that don't have any mezuzahs since before Hakamas HaMedina. But the Tanoim couldn't visualize such a thing. And the other Tana says, not true. I was on a tour. And the tour guide said that there used to be an Ir Hanidachas here. The whole city was burnt up. Then another Tana says, there never was and there never will be a Bais HaMenuga, Tzaraz Batim. Again, the conditions are so far-fetched, it's almost impossible that it should happen. The other one says, not true, there was. So there could be one or two or three, possibly one or three mitzvahs, that never were and never will be. So it's a pella. Why did the Rabban Shalom write this in the Chumash? The Gemara says, drosh v'kabal schar. What do you mean, drosh v'kabal schar? There's so much halacha to learn. What do we have to have in Gansan, the whole thing? The dinim of here, nidachas, just a few blat gemara, the whole thing, sachakol, 3-4 blat gemara. There isn't so much. Ben Sura Murr, also 3-4 blat. Ba'is HaManuga and Mishnayis is also 3-4 blat the Mishnayis. There isn't so much there. Ba'is HaManuga, the whole thing is less than 15 blat gemara. What do you mean, Joshua v'kabaschat? There isn't enough halacha to spend time on that. The Rebbe Shalom had to waste our time to study these dinim. So apparently it must mean something more than that. So it could be that it means, the Torah means to teach us a lesson, that we should love our children if they behave. If they don't behave, you shouldn't cover up on your children. There's some parents, whatever their children do by definition is correct. And if the children do stupid things, so the parents will present it as if their child is normal and everybody else is meshuggah. Their child walks around half undressed. That's the way to go. And all the other children are crazy. Or their children do preacher's digger things. Their children do improper things. So the others are improper. Their children, they don't. So maybe that's what the Torah is teaching us. We shouldn't cover up on our children. Maybe it's never going to happen, but the lesson that you're supposed to learn is that if you have a rotten child, you bring him to the bezin, and you're supposed to love the Rabbi Shalom more than you love your own children. Raises that issue. How can you love your wife and your children? People get married, they love their wives. A boy gets engaged, he loves the girl. How can you love the girl? He says, where is the room in your heart to love the girl? You're going to have children, you're going to be blessed with children. Where's the room to love your children? After love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chavis HaLavavah says the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get married and he wants us to raise children. He wants us to love our wives. So part of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to love your wife and your children to love all the other people as well. But if showing love, if the wife doesn't want to keep mitzvahs and the children are miserable children, they're not doing Avodas Hashem properly, so then you're not supposed to love the children. Then love for the children is in contradiction to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha, with your full heart. The love for all the other people is supposed to be a chelik of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shouldn't be something independent. I love my wife separately from my love, from the fact that I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So could be that that's the lesson to be learned, Rosh V'kabal Schach. Could be that from each one of these mitzvahs, the Yemeni Dachas, with the Bais HaManuga, with the Mansur Amara, each mitzvah has a lesson to teach. And others give a different interpretation. Others say that Rosh V'Kabal Schar means the following, perhaps, that Rashi on Chumash on Parshas Mishpatim quotes a Medrash that the Chumash is referred to in Sefer Shmuel as the Moshal HaKadmoni. What does it mean, a Moshal HaKadmoni? So the Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his Svarim, in the Sefer Shem Olam, also one of the smallest Svarim, he writes that a Moshal means two levels of meaning. A Moshal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter, and it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says like a photograph, Balaz. Even though I've never seen the king of a certain country, but I saw his photograph in the newspapers, so if I happen to be in the capital, and I'm walking in the street and I see someone with guards on his right and on his left, and his face corresponds to the picture in the newspaper, I can identify who the president of the country is based on the photograph. So here also, the Torah from the beginning to the end is a description of Elokus. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So most of the description of Elokus, we wouldn't really understand Elokus. It's way above our Hasogas Bnei Adam. The philosophers from the Middle Ages have an expression, Ili Daitiv Hayisiv. If I would understand Elokus, I would be the Rabbanu Shalom himself. He's the only one who understands Elokus. But the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to try to explain a little bit to us what Elokus is, so he gave us Derech Mashal. We wouldn't understand a Mashal either, so he gave a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal. So the Chumash is called the Mashal HaKadmoni, and the description of Elokus is given in disguise, in the form of mitzvahs. The mitzvahs have to be observed. Shabbos and Kashrus and Tzitzis and Tefillin and Yom Tov and so on. Everything has to be observed. They're tzivuyim, but in addition to being tzivuyim, in addition to being commandments, they all together add up to a full description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Gemara says there are certain aspects of the essence of Elokus which don't lend themselves to be described in the form of a mitzvah. They're described in the form of a mitzvah that's just impossible to ever be observed. But it's still drosh v'kabal scha. You have to learn these three parshios of Eirani Dachas and Bayis HaMenugam and Sarah Mora, because this is part of the full description of the essence of Elokus. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said over from the Baal HaTanya. So he understood that that's what it means. Drosh v'kabal schar, that these three mitzvahs, even if it's impossible to ever observe them, are needed for the shleimus of the description of Elokus. And today's sedra we have the famous din of Shiluach HaKan, that if the person is walking in the street and he bumps into a kantzipa, he goes lefanach kantzipa baderach, he says, Shaleach teshal chasayim esabarim tikach loch. So the Mishnah has in Megillah that if a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Al kantzipa yegir rachamecha, have rachmanis on the bird, so you're not allowed to say that. Why? So the Gemara has two interpretations. So one reason is, Sha'oisa Zeiros, Shaleach Baruch Hu rachmim, ve'enem elok zeiros. That it sounds, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like the person thinks that the mitzvahs and the Torah all have reasons, and it's not really so, they're just arbitrary. They're just exeris from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants us to be disciplined, but it's not necessarily based on any Rachmanis. So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim quotes that opinion in the Gemara and says, we don't accept that opinion. The Rambam in the end of Mor Nevuchim has a whole arichas about Tamei HaMitzvahs. What are the reasons for some of the mitzvahs? So he says that this opinion in the Gemara is a minority opinion, that there are no reasons for any of the mitzvahs. And we accept the majority view that there are reasons, so that's where he's going to try to work to give Tamei HaMitzvahs. Yeah, but the Tamei HaMitzvahs, it's like Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik used to say, a tam is the flavor. When you eat food, you have to eat nutritious food. It's nice if the nutritious food has a good flavor also, but even if it doesn't have a good taste, you have to eat food that's healthy, you have to eat food that's nutritious. So the tam, the mitzvah is the mitzvah, whether it tastes good or doesn't taste good. It's very nice if you have a good flavor in the mitzvah also, so that's a tam. It gives tam, adds flavoring to the mitzvah. But the mitzvah has to be observed even if the person does know what the reason is. The Meiri interprets in his Bior on Mishle, I think, I'm not sure. He quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Tuv Tamid Aslam Deini, Ki B'Mitzvisecha He'emonti. So he says, the Dovid HaMelech says, the word Ki has different meanings. Ki M'shamish B'Dalad L'Shoinus, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, that the word Ki can have four different meanings. And some of the four meanings have four different meanings. It can have many different interpretations of Ki. So very often the word Ki means because. This is so Ki because of this. And sometimes the word Ki means despite the fact that. Just the opposite. Sometimes key means despite the fact. As Moshe Rabbeinu say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with Bnei Yisrael, ki am kishi arifu. Despite the fact that we are am kishi arif. That's how the Ibn Ezra says. Despite the fact that we are am kishi arif. So the Miri interprets this pasuk also like that. Dovin HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tuf tam edas lam deini. Maybe explain to me the reason for the mitzvahs. Despite the fact that I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway, ki b'mitzvah secha hemonti, I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway, I have emunah, I'm going to observe the mitzvahs, but why not give me a tam? Why not give me a little flavor in the mitzvah? I should understand why I'm doing the mitzvah. We have an obligation to do the mitzvahs even if we don't understand them. That's what it means, kabbalah samach shamay. A person has to do the mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, they told us to do it. If we're going to decide whenever the mitzvah makes sense, we're going to do it. Whenever the mitzvah doesn't make sense, we're not going to do it. So we're not. That's not kabbalah samach shamay. Kabbalah samach shamay means you do it whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was instructed in the Haftorah to Parshas Ba'ar, I think. He was instructed that he should purchase the field from his cousin. We were just talking about it the other day. Sardis Bakesed Yiknu. Because of Bas Sefer V'chasom, he spoke about Bas Sefer as opposed to Sefer. Sefer over there means parchment. Because of Bas Sefer V'chasom, to write on a parchment, Man Yam Liyam Ibrahim, that the Shtar should last for a long time. So when they come back after the 7 years of Golda's Babel, Yirmiyahu's grandchildren should be able to claim that field. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Nevuah that his cousin is going to come from the city Anasos, And the whole Eretz Yisrael was about to be taken over by the Babylonian armies. The whole country was going to collapse, and all the Jews were going to be sent into Golas Babel. And real estate was worthless at that time. It wasn't worth buying any real estate for a penny. Whatever you're going to buy, you're going to lose in another day or two when the Babylonian armies conquer the whole country. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should buy the field from... The cousin is going to come, ask him to buy the field because he's broke. Yirmiyahu HaNavi should buy the field. So he does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him, and then he asked. And then he asked the Rebbe Shalom, why in the world did he tell me to do this? He doesn't ask the Kasha first. First he does what he's instructed. And then he asked the Rebbe Shalom, what was this all about? It doesn't make any sense. You do the mitzvah whether you understand it or not. And then you have a right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did the mitzvah. He said, now explain to me, what was it all about? So Rebbe Shalom said, it will be a similar banacha, then another 7 years, they'll come back. Now true, you're going to go into Golus. Now the real estate is worthless. When they come back after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, so you'll have the shtar and you'll own this karka. So they should think of that. The same is true regarding the Akedah. Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nevuah, he has to bring his son as a carbon oil. So he did it. He brought his son as a carbon oil. He was about to shecht him. Then the Malach tells him, you shouldn't kill him. So Avraham Avinu does as instructed. He's about to shecht his son, and he doesn't. Then Rashi quotes from the man. Then he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe you can explain to me what this is all about. First you told me originally, you're going to have your own child, and he's going to be the future of the Jewish people. Then you told me, bring him as a carbon oiler. So in other words, not going to be kibitzel v'korach hazer. He wasn't married. He didn't have any children yet. He wasn't married. And then you tell me not to shecht him. Everything, each tzivah contradicts the other tzivah. But he doesn't ask the question before he acts. The Baruch Shalom tells him, bring him as an oiler. He does it. Then the Malach tells him, don't bring him as an oiler. He doesn't. After he does everything that he's instructed to do, and all the instructions contradict each other, then he has the right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Meiri interpreted in that pasuk, Tuv Tamad Aslam Deinik in the mitzvah, Secha Hamanti. Despite the fact that I'm doing the mitzvahs, but explain to me what it's all about. A lot of people today don't want to do the mitzvah unless they understand in advance that it makes sense. That's a lack of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. I remember when I was first married, there was some kind of dispute. I thought we should do one thing, and my wife thought the other thing. So my father-in-law turned to his daughter, and he said that Ezehi Shikshera Kol Shoyser Ritzon Bailo. The Gemara says a good wife is the wife who listens to her husband. So he said, if it makes sense what the husband says, so it's not Ritzon Bailo. So it's your Ritzon. It means you have to listen to your husband, even if you think that it doesn't make any sense. Maybe it does make sense. You think it does make sense. That's called Ritzon Bailo. But if each case, each time you're going to judge, if it makes sense, that's not Ritzon Bailo. That's Kabbalah Samach Hashma, means we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, even if we think it doesn't make any sense. So that's the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash on Parsha Shoftim, has a long essay where he quotes this Mor Nebuchim from the Rambam. The Rambam says that there was one opinion in the Gemara Megillah that the mitzvahs have no time in at all. Just the nitna mitzvahs are little tzar fahem is habriyas. The mitzvahs were only given to that people should be disciplined, and the gzeris min hashemayim, they don't have to have any reason at all. And the Rambam says, but that opinion was outvoted, and we follow the majority view that the mitzvahs do have reason. So the Ramban thinks that no one ever held like that. He doesn't think that was even a minority opinion. The Gemara says you shouldn't include such a statement in the davening. You shouldn't say Al Kansipi Agir Rachamech. Shouldn't say it in the davening. But we may give reasons for the mitzvah. There's nothing wrong. Everyone agrees. You should try to give reasons for the mitzvahs. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Zohar that the reason for the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan is to show achzarius to the birds. And when you show achzarius in this form, then men hashamayim, the Shari Rachman will be open to have rachmanis on the bird because you're doing achzarius. Once the Shari Rachman are opened up, so the Rachman will be spread on all of mankind also. It's an interesting twist that the mitzvah is bedavket to do achzarius to the birds in order to open up Shari Rachman. This week's Sedra has the dinim of Yibam v'chalitza. We're learning in the beginning of Kiddush and about Kiddush Ibiyah. So the Gemara says, why did you need a pasuk kechishisha ubiola? And today said, well, why do you need the word ubiola? Why couldn't you have learned it out from Yibum? You see that Yevama's nickname is Bia. So learn out from there, Mamatzino, that Kiddush Bia should work by any girl. So the Gemara said, no, Malivamish can skukul yamedes. You can't learn out. So this week said, there has the institution of Yibum and has the institution of Chalitza. The Mishnah, the end of the first parak in Pchairis, we were talking about that Mishnah the other day. Mishnah has that mitzvah even kodemus lemitzvah chalitza. Preferable is that they should do yibum, and only second best is to do chalitza. If there's a major age gap in between them, or it doesn't make sense for some reason or another, it doesn't make sense that they should do yibum. So then we allow chalitza, but preferable is they should really do yibum. And then in the days of the Tanoim, Abishol, the Tana came up with this idea. They quoted in Yigamara Yivamis that we only allow Yibum if he's miskabin the Shem Mitzvah. Because every case of Yibum, basically you have an issue of Eshesach. Eshesach is an Issachoris. So it's a special hat. Eshesach Mawakam Mitzvah is Mutter. So this Tana is of the opinion that it's something along the lines, something like Esedechal Esese. You're allowed to do Yibum even though it's in violation of Eshesach. Strictly speaking, it can't be based on Esedech HaLaisese, because the Gemara says, Ein Esedech HaLaisese Sheish Bokoris. Eshesach is an Issachoris. So it can't be based on the plain din of Esedech HaLaisese. It's a special form of Dechia. So this Tana is of the opinion that the essay of Yibum HaYavala is only Dech HaLaisese if he does it L'Shem Shamayim, if he does the mitzvah L'Shma. If he doesn't do the mitzvah, usually you don't have to do a mitzvah lishma. But that person, he knows that if he doesn't shake a lulav, his father's going to beat him up. So he shakes the lulav. So he's yotzi, even though he's lazy. He really doesn't want to wake up to go to shul. Father wakes him up, and he knows the father's going to beat him up if he doesn't go to shul. So he goes and he davens. He knows it's a mitzvah, but he's lazy. So he's not religiously motivated. Lishma means what motivated you to do the mitzvah. Are you religiously motivated or not? So he's not religiously motivated. He would really like to sleep some more. But he knows he's going to get it from his father if he doesn't, or from his mother, whatever, if he doesn't go do all the mitzvahs. So that's a lack of lishma. He's doing the mitzvah shalom lishma, but he has kavana. He knows that he's doing a mitzvah. So it's not a contradiction. You can have kavana, Lord says, and it's still shalom lishma. Lishma means what motivated you to perform the mitzvah. So yeah, Bashal came up with this chiddush that even though mitzvahs don't have to be done lishma. Gemara has a famous memory. Yolim yasagadim b'torv mitzvah afilu shalol lishma. Shemitoch shalol lishma bol lishma. Even if you're not religiously motivated, you should still do the mitzvahs. You don't need the motivation. Should be a pure motivation. Over here, Abishol says, but in order that the mitzvah of Yivam Yavaleh should allow you to violate the law of Eshesach, alav sheyesh b'koris, that's only if you were religiously motivated. What if he's going to perform Yibum because she's very good looking, or she's very wealthy, or she's from a very prominent family, or he has difficulty getting a shidduch, and he's not really interested in mitzvah, but nobody wants to marry him. He's a shlemiel, and here the girl is stuck. She has to agree to the Yibum. So then this Tana says, Nimtze kepageh be'erva. Then it's really in violation of Eshesach. The only time you have a heter is if he's religiously motivated to do the mitzvah. So Rab Chaim Oizer has a tshuva where he quotes in the Muki Yosef and Yevamos writes, that's the Pashtus in the Gemara. The Rabbi Shol Shita is only Midi Rabbanon. In Atar it's not so. It's a Chumah Midi Rabbanon that we only permit you to perform the Yibum if you're religiously motivated. And then he says most of the time people are not so religiously motivated to perform Yibum. He's probably interested in doing Yibum because she's good looking or because she's from a famous prominent family or something, or she's a very wealthy family. So that's what he says. He shouldn't permit Yibum. That Bizman said we would recommend mitzvahs chalitza kodemus lemitzvahs Yibum. So for a time, that was the psak amakubal in the days of the Tanaim. And then, there's a machlekes in the Rishonim, was the psak reversed again? Originally, the psak was mitzvahs Yibum kodemus. But Maimon HaSinai on, the din was mitzvahs Yibum kodemus. But kuvas ha-Tanaim, there was a period of time, clearly, that they reversed the psak, like Abishol. And then the Sfardim hold that it was reversed back again, that we pass mitzvahs even kodemus lemitzvahs chalitza. And the Ashkenazim assumed that it was never reversed, that that's the psak. The Bizman Hazeh, we follow Abishol, mitzvahs chalitza kodemus lemitzvahs yibum. So when they started, when they founded the Medina in 1948, and they established the Rabbanut, So they decided they have to have a uniform policy. What are they going to do for Sfardim? They're going to allow Yibum. Ashkenazim, they're not going to allow Yibum. So they had all the Sfardish Rabbanim sign the Hesgame. They all signed an agreement that no one's going to do Yibum anymore. So at that time, Chacham Avadia was, I think, lived in Egypt. Rebbe didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a whole tshuva that this Hesgame has no tokev because it's against the Psak of the Sfardim. The Psak of the Sfardim is that Mitzvah Yibum Kadem is the Mitzvah Chalitza. I don't know what he said when he became the chief rabbi. He also said, do we allow Yibum? Yeah. And they practice Yibum. Okay. Yeah. But today, by Ashkenazim, for sure, we don't allow Yibum because we're afraid the guy's not doing it b'shem Shammai.
Why do we assume that there's that the Isser of Ishus Ach still applies? Why is there Ishus Ach HaMisa? He's dead.
No Ishus Lach HaMisa.
So what's the Isser?
The Isser Ishus Ach. Because she was once married to my brother. The din is Eishes Ach is also Lach HaMisa, even though she's not married to him. She was at one time an Eishes Ach. Yeah. If Yesh Labanim, then there's an Issa Karis of Eishes Ach. Ein Labanim, they were Maka Mitzvah, then it's Mutter. They have in the biography of a Prime Oizer that he once participated in a conference of Rabbanim. Every so often they had a conference of Rabbanim. And then he had to get home to Vilna for Shabbos, and he missed the train, whatever, he couldn't get home. And he got stuck in a little village for Shabbos, and there was nobody to talk to and learning. He was going out of his mind there. And he felt awful. His whole Shabbos was ruined. And then Shabbos Judah's time, one of the Balabatim in the community came over to him, and he said, Rabbi, in Yiddish there's an expression, Dort wusat Torah, dort is da chochma. A person who knows how to learn has wisdom. What do you say? Give me an advice on this. My brother died, and he left an almana with a whole bunch of children. He said, people are encouraging me. I should marry the almana, and I should raise the children. What do you think? Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. So he said, it's an Issa Karis. What do you mean? He just said, Ach, Shalom HaMakamitzvah. It's an Issa Karis. You're not allowed to marry him. So he said, thank you. Okay, he's not going to marry him. So then he understood why Menashemayim. It caused them to ruin a whole Shabbos over there. To save this guy from marrying his sister-in-law. There were no rabbanim there, the whole village, there were no rabbanim. And the guy was going to marry his sister-in-law. That would have been a nisa, Reish Yisach, Shalom HaMakam Mitzvah. It's a nisa kares.
Can we say that by other mitzvahs, that like, if there's any small piece that's shalom lishma, I find tittus. And I think also it happened to think that tittus look nice.
No. With respect to mitzvah, you say liyalav hasakarim atar mitzvah shalavishma shemitah shalavishma balishma. But if the mitzvah is supposed to be docha nisa, if this mitzvah is supposed to be docha nisa, take for example the Mishnah of Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva like this. He has in a tshuva that a man lived in Galicia. He lived in Galicia. Man lived in Galicia. Whatever he did, he was never successful in business. He never made a good parnassah. He's tried one thing, another thing. So someone said, why don't you move to Eretz Yisrael? And maybe make a parnassah. They said, okay, he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, try that out. So his wife didn't want to go along. To all the children, all the grandchildren, everybody lives over here. What do you mean? What are you, crazy? So he says, I'm going to divorce you, and I don't have to pay you the ksuvah. Because that's what it says in the Mishnah, in the end of ksuvahs, that if the husband wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, the wife doesn't want to go along. So we say that she's the one who's responsible for ruining the marriage. Whenever the wife is the one who caused the breakup of the marriage, she doesn't want to go to the mikveh, she's cursing the husband, or she doesn't want to cook food or whatever. Whatever, she's ruining the marriage, then she loses the ksuvah. So they came to Rav Shlomo Kluger, so he said, no. That din, that you have a right to divorce your wife and not take ksuvah, that's if you want to go to Eretz Yisrael because you're a Zionist, you want to do a mitzvah, you want to go to Eretz Yisrael because of parnasa, that's shalom lishma. So true, mitach shalom lishma, bal lishma, should always do the mitzvah in shalom lishma. But when you do a mitzvah, shalom lishma can't be doche yisur. Like over here by Abba Shol says, you want the mitzvah, yivam yavalah, to be doche the yisur of eshesach. So if the mitzvah isn't done lishma, then it doesn't have the koach to be doche yisur. That's also chid. That's Rav Chaim Moshe said, he quotes the Muki Yosef, that the whole din of Abba Shol is only with the Rabban. But a similar case would be over there.
The
we usually distinguish between dechuya and hutra. We say esay doicha lois esay is dechuya. A is doicha B. So dechuya is only if it's eifshel l'kayim shneim. If the only way to fulfill the mitzvah is by violating the avera, then it's doicha. Kamachem Rish Lakish has this mem. Kamachem Shatamotze esay v'lois esay. In maf yochel l'kayim shneim muta. If you can fulfill the mitzvah without violating the avera, you should do so. V'imlav, then you say yovah esay nitcha lois esay. If you have a case of hutra, in a certain situation, the thing is muta lagamre. So then you don't even have to take, for example, the Gemara has a machlokes amaroyim, then it turns out to be a machlokes atanoim, and yuma, and avov, and avzayin, the whole sugya goes on and on, the two and a half blad Gemara. Whether tum is hutra b'tzibur or tum is duchuya b'tzibur. You can bring a korban tzibur even though the kohanim are tomei. So is that the mitzvah of hakrovas hakarbanis? Is doicha the iser? It's a korban shezman kavua. So it's doicha the iser of hakrova betuma, or it's hutra. But makam korban tzibur, the whole thing doesn't apply. What's the difference? If you get kohanim from a different beisav, today's beisav, there were 24 mishmaris, and every mishmar had a whole week, and then each day, Sunday through Friday, there was a different beisav, different group of members of that family of that mishmar would be responsible for doing the Akrobus HaKarbonis. So let's say all the Kohanim from today's Beis Abba Tomei, but tomorrow's Beis Abba, yesterday's Beis Abba, they're Tohar. So that's called Efshel HaKayim Shneim. You can fulfill the mitzvah of Akrobus HaKarbonis Sibur without violating the Issur Tumah. Have other Kohanim do the Akrobus HaKarbonis. They're not the only Kohanim today. So the Gemara said that was a big Machlekes Tanoim and a Machlekes Amorim, had a Paskin, with the Tumah Duchi B'tzibur, Tumah Huchi B'tzibur. So the Pashtus is, Rashi quotes a Mechilta like that, the Pashtus is that Yevama Yavah Leva, Mokam Yibum, the whole love of Eishasach is Hutra. The whole thing doesn't apply. You don't need Esed Doicha, it says. You don't have to be Doicha. So that's why the whole Abishol is a Chumr Midi Rabbanim. Min HaTorah, it's not Duchuya. So you can't say that you need that it should be done Lishma. Hutra. The Mokam Mitzvah Yibum, the whole love is Hutra. It doesn't apply at all.
The woman needs to go to the hospital on Shabbos, so better to get a religious person to drive her than a chilani Jew to drive her. One have in mind, one have in mind, the taxi driver doesn't have in mind the shem pikuach nefesh, doesn't have the shem mitzvah.
Doesn't have in mind the mitzvah because
he's taking it to the movies also. Wherever she wants to go, she'll go.
But now he knows he's taking it to save her life. Okay, there's what to discuss. Okay. Yeah, we were learning the other day, so we spoke about, we said over the Tosis at the end of Nida, and that's Samach Vav on the base, but Tosis points out that in Chalitza, there are certain parts of the Chalitza mitzvah that are not Me'akeh B'Yeved. We pass on the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Me'akeh B'Yeved. And the Rikika is not Miyakeh B'Yevet. So if it's not Miyakeh B'Yevet, why do you need it L'chatchila? There's such a concept as L'chatchila B'Yevet on the level of the Raisa. So Taisis there distinguishes the end of Nida. Taisis distinguishes between a mitzvah and a matir. In a matir, it doesn't make sense on the level of the Raisa. But L'chatchila it's awesome, B'Yevet is mut. Mut B'Yevet is mut L'chatchila. A get, let's say. There's no such thing as a L'chatchila, the get should be given like this, and B'Yevet, the get will be kosher even if it's given like that. Midrabban, you have a lot of dinim like that. Lechatchila the get should have been done like this, but the evidence good without that. But on the level of the raisa, you never have a lechatchila the raisa in a matir. But in mitzvahs, you have it a lot of time. The mitzvah bishleimusa is to do zrikas damachatas on the mizbech on all the four corners. And but the evidence, if you only did one matone, you yotze only one zrika is me'akib the evidence. In the chalitza, the mitzvah bishleimusa is to do the kriyas of psukim with the rikika with the chalitza. And B'Yevet, the only thing that's me'akev is the chalitza. The rikika is not me'akev, and the kriyas ha'psukim is not me'akev. So Tosis in the end of Nida explains that's because chalitza is a mitzvah. And mitzvahs you can have many times, l'chatchil and B'Yevet, on the level of their eyes. But in a matter, it doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Zalcharif lived 100 years ago. He was a rabbi in Slonim. He's known as Rabbi Zalcharif. So he has a tshuva, Emek Yoshua, his sefer is called Emek Yoshua, very harif is dik, very sharp. So I think the first tshuva in the sefer, if I'm not mistaken, is There's a machlokes achrayim. Is there a mitzvah to perform chalitza if the woman is not interested in remarrying? The woman is 85 years old. So the husband died. They never had any children. I remember there was a case. A couple never had children, so they adopted children. They adopted children, but it's not children from the husband. The husband never had children from any wife. So strictly speaking, when the husband died, even though they had children, they had adopted children, they're supposed to do chalitza. So they couldn't convince her to do chalitza. She didn't want to. So that's a machlekes in Achrayim, the Beis Shmuel, and Avdus, and Ebenezer, the end of Ebenezer, the Avilchos chalitza. Is the mitzvah to do chalitza even if she's not interested in remarrying? Or is it only if she is interested in remarrying? So Rabbi Zulcharif presents it as if the machlokes was whether chalitza is a mitzvah, chalitza is only a matir. If it's a matir, so she's not interested in remarrying. If it's a mitzvah, then you should do it on the real case. And then he quotes this Tosis in the end of Nida, right? So Tosis proves from the fact that you have l'chatchilas deraisa by chalitza, you have the rikike, and the kriyas ha'psukim is only needed l'chatchila, but the evidence not miyakev. So that's a clear-cut proof that chalitza is a mitzvah. So he said, therefore, the other achrayim are right. You have to always do chalitza, even if you're not interested in remarrying. It doesn't really prove the point conclusive. It just proves that it's a mitzvah, not a matter. Could be it's only a mitzvah she's interested in remarrying. Could be it's a conditional mitzvah. If she's interested in remarrying, then there's a mitzvah to do chalitza. But that's in this week's Sedra. You have Yotzev Hoysa in this week's Sedra. Havaya, Makash Havaya, Litzia Gerishin is in this week's Sedra. Oynes and Maitzi Shemra is in this week's Sedra. So many famous dinim are in this week's Sedra. The Gemara beginning of Yevamos points out there is a machlekes hatanaim where they darshan smuchim. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. So we assume that there's a connection between the two. If you have dinim and two psukim that are next to each other, that's called smuchim. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, whether that's a legitimate midah shatara nidreshes bam. So the Gemara says that in Chumash Dvarim, in Mishnah Torah, all the tanaim agree that you do darshan smuchim. Because Mishnah Torah Moshe Rabbeinu was reviewing the whole Torah Shebaal Peh before Bnei Yisrael. When he was reviewing, so he reminded himself of another din by association. He said one din, that is, he associated that din with another din, then he associated that din with another din. So mitzvah 2 is connected with mitzvah 1, and 3 is connected to mitzvah 2. There's always a hemshuk. So that's what the Gemara says, that Mishnah Torah, we do darshan smuchim. The Rosh Hashanah told Moshe Rabbeinu, write it down the way you said it, because there is a connection between each mitzvah and the next mitzvah. So you do darshan smuchim. So there are many, many famous dinim that are based on drashas of smuchim and chumash devarim and Mishnah Torah. So two of them are in today's Sedra. One of them is, the pasuk says, v'hayon bin hakos ha-rasha. If the Bezdin determines that the Rasha deserves malchus, so they gave him the malchus. So this is written right next to the pasuk, lo sachsam shor b'disha. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal when it's doing work with the food. So the Gemara says, how do you determine which Rasha deserves malchus? So the Gemara says, whoever smuchim, whoever does an aber, that's similar to lo sachsam shor b'disha. That's called dumya de lav da chasima. It has to be similar. The aver that he violates has to be similar to we spoke about Orla B'chutzlort. There's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Gaonim, whether you get malchus for eating Orla B'chutzlort. So offhand, the Rambam is right. Orla B'chutzlort is halacha l'mashem esinah. There's no pasuk at all. It has to be written, it has to be a pasuk, like L'sachsim Shor B'disha is in Chumash. Or even if you have a lava bo mechlala say, that's not loike. It has to be either, has to say either loy, like L'sachsim Shor B'disha, or Yisham and Pen V'yal is also the equivalent of loy. But if it's a lap abom echlal asay, then ain't loy kemolav. The Gemara calls it an asay, does mean it's an asay. It means it's not dumi the lab da chasima. So it has to be written in Chumash, number one, and it has to be written b'losh and loy, or Yisham and Pen V'yal. Then it shouldn't be a lab shem amais, it shouldn't be a lab anita glass, it shouldn't be a lab anita natashlumen. A whole bunch of rules and regulations. What's considered dumi the lab da chasima? So that's one of the famous drushes on today's Sedra that's based on smuchim, because the parsha v'hayon bin hakos ha-rasha is written right next to the pasuk of l'sachsim shor b'disha. Another famous drush of smuchim in today's Sedra is esed d'chalos aseh. is based on the pasuk that I said the two psukim were next to the other. Gedilim tatsul chol arba kafus kusha shetachasuba. Then it says al silba shatas tzemra pishtim yachtav. You're not allowed to wear shatas. Why is where do you see esa dechol esa over here? So the Gemara says tam beged ha'am v'atoyra. The mitzvah to put tzitzis on a four-cornered garment. What material is the garment made from? So if it's made from leather, it's not chayiv in tzitzis. It has to have a warp and a woof. And leather is one big solid piece. Let's say it's made from a some synthetic material. That's just they made a sheet of material. So also, it doesn't have a warp and a woof. It doesn't have thread that you sew it, that you crisscross in two different directions. That's the same as leather, you're not chayiv in tzitzis. Rav Moshe has a chiddush that if you have a nylon baguette, since the nylon is made from petroleum, I think, so you could have taken the petroleum and made a sheet of nylon, and instead you made thread, and you made a warp and a woof, so he thinks that you're not chayiv in tzitzis, even if it has a shesavi erev. Because they could have, this material was such, the nature of material is such that they could have made it like a piece of leather, one solid piece. Moshe thinks that it's not a chayiv in tzitzis, even if it has a warp and a woof. Others disagree. They hold, no, it depends. If it has a shesavi erev, then it is a beged. If it doesn't have shesavi erev, then it's not a beged. What material does it have to be made from? So there is a machlekes hatanan in perakat chelis, in the middle of Menachos, where the Mar has all the dinim of tzitzis. So there is a machlekes hatanan. One time is of the opinion, stam beged ha'ma batora is either tzema or pishtim. So a cotton garment is only chayv in tzitzis min derabbanan, and silk would only be chayv in tzitzis min derabbanan. But if it's tzemer pishtim, then it's chayv min atar. The other opinion is no, all materials are chayv in tzitzis min atar, provided you have it shes of the era. If you have a warp and a woof, if it was crisscrossed, if it's just a sheet of material, then that's the way they manufactured it, then it's like leather, and it's not chayv in tzitzis. So the Gemara points out that lechatchili should have tchelis in the tzitzis. If you don't have tchelis, in machlekes hatanan, we paskin, like the majority opinion, we paskin that the tchelis is not meyakeves as a lovin. Yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion if you have only lovin. But tchelis has to be, the dye has to be from a special sea animal, from the chalozon. And it has to be the strings that are dyed tchelis have to be Amro, has to be tzemer. So if you have a beged shel pishtom, which is chayv in tzitzis manatorin, you got to put in tcheles, which has to be tzemer hatzavua from the chalozon. So that's going to be shatnas. A string of tzemer tied onto a beged of pishtom is going to constitute shatnas. And the Torah says the two psukim one next to the other. Yedilim tasalacho, and then it says also b'shatnas tzemer pishtom yachtov. So the Gemara darshim from the smuchim. That is a mitzvah to put in tzitzis, even if it's going to be at the expense of violating shatnas. So from there, the Gemara learns out the kolat tarakulam, that is the principle of esed dechal oisase. But that's only, Reish Lakish said, that's only when it's e epshel kaim shneim. Whenever it's epshel kaim shneim, then you don't say esed dechal oisase. Some acharon came up with a big chiddush that Reish Lakish is din. But essay is only docha lo isese if it's e afshel kaim shneim, because it's only duchuya. It's called essay docha lo isese. It's not called hutro. So Samachan came up with an einfall that din is only midi rabbanim. And our Torah, essay is not only docha lo isese, but makam essay, every lo isese is hutro. I don't see why they should say such a chiddush. Why should you say like that? The pashtus in the Gemara, I don't know, we were trained by Rav Soloveitchik to assume that whenever the Gemara has a din, we assume it's a din deraisa, unless you have a right that it's a din midirabbanan. Mishnah Berurah always quotes the Prima Gadim, who always starts the opposite way. He assumes that if you don't have a beferish of pasuk, that something is deraisa, then you assume everything is only midirabbanan. So the Mishnah Berurah rips down half of the orachaim. This is midirabbanan. That's midirabbanan. That's midirabbanan. Every other page he quotes another Prima Gadim. Everything is midirabbanan. Rabbi Soloveitchik always assumed just the reverse. He always started off with the assumption everything in the Gemara is deraisa, unless you have a beferish or hechacha that it's midirabban. Sometimes Rabbi Soloveitchik would work hard to try to answer certain kashas, and the Chazal Ish says that's only midirabban. So you don't have to work so hard to answer the kashas. Rabbi Soloveitchik assumed it doesn't say it's midirabban. He assumed that everything is a din deraisa, unless you have a hechacha that is derabban. beginning of the parasha, the Torah speaks about the fellow who has two wives, and one wife he loves, and the other wife he hates. Ha'achas ha'huva ba'achas nu'a. We all do love banim ha'huva ba'asnu'a. Ha'ya ben ha'pchor la'asni'a. So one might have had a halamina that ben ha'pchor is from this nu'a, so he shouldn't be entitled to pish 9. What kind of a stupid halamina is that? Just because the parents didn't have shalom bayis. So the pchor shouldn't be entitled. He didn't like that wife. So therefore, the son shouldn't be entitled to the pish 9. So the Gemara said, that's not what it means. Ha'achas ha'huva ba'achas nu'a means ha'huva lefnei ha'mokan, and snu'a lefnei ha'mokan benisu eho. It means that he married the woman be'isser. He married a mamzeres, or he married a grusha. He married a woman be'isser. So that's what I would have thought. This child is a product of a prohibited marriage. Would have thought that the child is not entitled to get pishnayim. So kamash malan the pasuk, despite the fact that ha'achas nu'a, one of them is snu'a b'nisu eho, the fnei ha'mokam, her marriage is a forbidden marriage. Nonetheless, if she has the firstborn child, if she has the p'chor, so the p'chor is entitled to pishnayim. So that's how the Gemara interprets the pasuk. So then the Gemara says, this is interesting. A man marries a woman, b'iser, it's against the din, and it says, kisihiyena liyish. What does sihiyena mean? We just said, makash havai liyitziya. Yotza v'hoysa. Yotza m'beisa v'hocha v'hoysa liyishach. What do you mean? V'hoysa, havai means kiddushin. Yitziya means divorce, and havai means kiddushin. So it says, kisihiyena liyish tei nashim. He's married to two different women. Not stami had an affair with two girls. He's married to two women. So you see that kiddushin atopsin, be'isarishus, the man married a woman be'isar, she's snu'a b'nisu'a ulefnei ha'mokam, and still kisiyen aliyish, they're married. So is that true? Well, we usually have a cloud that ain't kiddushin tofsin barayis. If a man gives a ring to an eshes ish, or to his daughter, or to his mother, or to his sister, the kiddushin are not tofsin. So the Gemara says, and that's based on a svara, ain't kiddushin tofsin b'chavi krisis, is based on the swara the milsa dharma achman al asabid yavid lo mahani. It's machlek zabai v'rove in the beginning of Temurim. The Gemara says here, by marrying a woman be'isa, they all agree. Bein labai, bein l'rove. The din is that milsa dharma achman al asabid yavid lo mahani. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry this woman, so the kedusha are not tofsa. But this pasuk tells you that there is an exception to the rule. Kisiyena liyishtei nashim. Kisiyena means that there's havaya, there's tfisas ishus, and nonetheless, achasnua. So this is a big machlokes in the Tanoim. Which prohibited marriage is included in this pasuk? So we pasuk in la'alocha that the only marriage where the kiddushin are not tofsin is chavi krisis. Anything less than chavi krisis, chavi lavin and chavi esei, kiddushin not tofsin. Then there are other opinions in the Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva was chaylik on everybody else. But he was outvoted. It was clearly outvoted. Then there were different shades of opinion within Rabbi Akiva. Those who followed Rabbi Akiva, there were different shades of opinion. How far does Rabbi Akiva go to say, Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'Chayv Elavim? It's only Chayv Elavim D'Sha'er, only Chayv Elavim where it's a relative. Some of the relatives, there's only a Lav and there is no Chorus. Is it only if it's a relative, or is it even Chayv Elavim D'Lav D'Sha'er, or is it even Chayv Elavim Shenim Shavim Bakol? It's only by Kohanim. So there's one version of Rabbi Akiva that there's only one case where Kiddushin atofsin by a woman who's prohibited. Kangoro who marries a ba'ula, because that's an Issa essay. There's no lav. Kim besula miyam b'bik achisha. It's only an Issa essay, and it's ain't a shava bako. Only applies to Kangoro. Doesn't apply to anybody else. So the Gemara says that it's very strange. You have a pasuk, kisiyan liyishtei noshem, achas ha'uva, achas nua. And it only goes in one case. The husband is a kain gadol, and the achasnua is a beulah, the kain gadol. So the Gemara said, they have no choice. According to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk pushes itself in the corner. There's only one way to interpret the pasuk. The man you're talking about is the kain gadol, and the woman who's prohibited marriage is an iser esek because she's a beulah. But we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. We have rejected his sheet over here completely. We pass in kiddushin atofsin by all the chayv elav. Right, there is an opinion. Mitzvah Edom is only an Iser essay. And so there's one opinion that by all Iser essay, Kiddushin Atofsin, by all Chayv Elav, it ain't Kiddushin Atofsin. Right. There are different shades of opinion within Rabbi Akiva, but we haven't accepted anything from Rabbi Akiva yet. Usually we say, Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechavei Ro. when he disagrees with another Tana of his, a contemporary of his, they usually paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Mechabe Rov, velo Mechabe Rov. If he's outvoted, if the majority disagree with Rabbi Akiva, then we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So here the Gemara has an expression. One of the Tanoim says to the others, Bo unetzaveach, let's all join together and scream, Bo unetzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef, let's disagree with Rabbi Akiva. So, quote from the Vilna Gaon, what does it mean, Bo unetzaveach, let's all join together. If we'll all join together, then he will be outvoted. If you don't join together, then it was assumed halachic Rabbi Akiva mechaveru. When he disagrees with an individual Tana, so he passes like Rabbi Akiva. But if he disagrees with the majority, so ein halachic Rabbi Akiva mechaveru. So that's why they quote from the Vilna Gaon. That's why they said bo and tzavech. Let's all join together to disagree, and we will outvote him, and we don't pass like him. So that's taka. We don't pass like his opinion. They said we also have the din. The mitzvah of kvura, kovetik b'reina b'yomahu. You have to bury the person preferably on the same day before the shkia. And if that's impossible, then you should try to bury him before Alois HaShachar. L'sol in the v'los ha'leitz. Halon is only with Alois HaShachar. So that person dies 5 minutes before the shkia. So you can't bury him before the shkia. You can't fulfill b'yomahu, but you should try to bury him before Alois HaShachar, not to violate the law. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that helineu lechvodo, if you postpone the funeral to the next day, to have more people attend the funeral, helineu lechvodo, then it's mutter. Then you're permitted to. Usually if you postpone, that's usually the case in America, if you postpone the funeral to the next day, more people will be able to attend the funeral. So that's permissible. Helineu lechvodo is mutter. Why? Because the whole prohibition of halanas lameis is out of respect for the meis, kavod hameis, so here it's helineu lechvodo, so that's permissible. So achreidim eska kasha, but we usually paskin lo yedashin in time of the krah. There's a machlekes of Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Chachamim. When you establish the reason for any given mitzvah, and then you have a situation where the reason doesn't apply, do you have the right to say, since the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply? Or do you say, no, lo yedashin in time of the krah, even though the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah is still binding. So we paskin, even when the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah still applies. So how do you deal with this Mishnah? The Mishnah says, v'perish, helineu lechvodo is mutter. So the Achreinim give the answer, no, that's a machlekes, Rav Shimon and Chachamim, when the pasuk writes a mitzvah and it doesn't give you the reason. Over here it says, v'perish. It says the reason why. It says because it's a bizoyin ames, because man is created with tzelem alekim. There's a din of kavod abriyas, kavod achayim, is mochomer, there's a din, even kavod amesim, and because kikilas alakim tala, because man was created in tzelem alakim, so there's a din of kavod ames. So if it's helineu lechvodo, then it's mutter. Whenever the chumash gives the reason, so then everybody agrees dashin and time in the crow. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole din doesn't apply. The machlek is only in cases where the chumash doesn't write the reason. The initial din in the parsha about kvura only speaks about harugi bezn. It doesn't speak about a normal person who dies a natural death, or a person who was murdered, let's say. Yeah. But he wasn't from harugi bezn. That's the question: is the mitzvah of kvura by sharmeisim, is that minatur, is that only midirabban? So the Lecha Mishnah has a comment. The Rambam in Hilchos Ovel quotes the din of kvura sameis. So the Lecha Mishnah there points out, you look in Sanhedrin or Amdaf Mevava, so Mar has two brises back to back, Mamush one after the other, word for word, the exact same thing. And you don't understand. Both brises say the same thing. Kavatik Beranim by Yomahu, the original pasuk goes on Harugi Bezin. He was put to death by Bezin. Maybe it doesn't apply to a person who died a natural death. So the brise says, no, since the word is repeated, Kavatik Beranu, and we assume there's a machlekes hatanayim, whether dibur terek l'shem b'ri adam, or not dibur terek l'shem b'ri adam. Would the chumash repeat a word unnecessarily? Or should we assume? That's the way people talk. People repeat themselves a lot of times. But he say, no, every word in the chumash has meaning. Every letter, every word has meaning. So that's why we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Lo dibur terek, that's machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shema. We say, lo dibur terek l'shem b'ri adam, and every time it says a keifa loshen, hanik tanik, nasin titain, whatever, Kovatik Beren, Hashiv Tashiv. So whenever it has a Kefa Lashon, it's Marbe something. You have to be Marbe something. So the both prices say the same thing, one price after that. It says, Kovatik Beren, but Yamahu, is marbe, even though he's not harugi bezin, even meisal mitasa, a person dies a natural death. Also, there's a mitzvah course. And Lechem Mishnah points out, why do you have these two brises, and they're long brises, a couple of lines long? Why do you have the two brises say exactly the same? So he says, if you notice carefully, there's a difference between the two brises. So one brise says, remez l'kvura menator minayim. The other brise says, kvura menator minayim. So the difference is the one word, is that a remez. The word remez usually means that it's only midirabbanan. Once the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos writes like that, usually remez means only an asmachta, it's only midirabbanan. And once in a long while, the Gemara will have a lashon remez, and it's a real din deraisa. So the Ramban there in the Sefer HaMitzvos quotes the Gemara beginning of Makkos, the first half of Makkos says, remez leidim zanimim shalokim min ator minayim. Says shalokim min ator. So it says it's called a remez. So that's not an asmachta, that's a real makkah. Even though it says remez, that's a real din deraisa. But here, the Lechem Mishnah thinks that this is the machlokes between the two brises, and that's the reason why the Gemara quoted the two brises. The one brisa holds that kvura shar mesim is only the rabbanon, and the other brisa holds that not so. Kvura's kala mesim is a din deraisa. And then the Lechem Mishnah explains there's a problematic Rambam there in Hilchas Ovil. The Gemara has a suffix about a certain aspect of kvura, and the Rambam paskins gives a paskin. The Gemara didn't give any maskan. How did the Rambam know how to paskin? So the Lechem Mishnah says because the whole suffix of the Gemara, whole diun in the Gemara is on the assumption that kvura b'sham mesim is only midirabbanan. So the Rambam says we don't paskin like that whole premise. We paskin kvura b'sham mesim is the raisa. So therefore there's no suffix. So that's the Lechem Mishnah. That's the Lechem Mishnah. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Well, he starts off with this Lechem Mishnah, and he says, we paskin like the Rambam, the Kfura B'Shar Mesim is deraisa. It's not only deraisa by the Harugi Bezin. True, by Harugi Bezin, it's a special mitzvah of Kfura. It's not the regular din. Because the Gemara says that normally the din is Ein Korvin Tzadik Eitzel Rosha. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a Rosh. You're not allowed to bury a Rosh Chomor next to a Rosh Kal. If someone is keeping track, I know the Gemara has like this. One person did 100 Averis, one person did 101 Averis. So you're not allowed to bury the two, one next to the other. Because one is a Rosh Chomor, one is a Rosh Kal. Who's keeping track? We don't know how to keep track. So we usually assume all the people from YU have one cemetery in Beit Shemesh, I think. That's the YU cemetery. We assume we all have the same amount of Averis. And the Aguda, they have their own cemetery. And Chaim Berlin, they have their own cemetery. And Torah Vedas, they have their own cemetery. We assume all the people from each group, each community, all the people from Broya have their own cemetery. They assume they all do the same number of Averis, approximately. No one's keeping track. So each group buries next to their mason. We assume everybody is on the same level of religious observance, more or less. We don't know how to distinguish it. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says that the Bezin had two batik forests. They had one for Nitzkolim and Nisrafim, and one for Nechnokim and Neherogim. So the Gemara asked, they should have had four. How can they be sufficient with two? Because the Skiv and the Sreif are not on the same level of Choymer HaAveira, and Chenek and Saif are also not on the same level. So Mechalek Zatarayim, which Avera is, which Onish is Machomer, which Avera is Machomer, but no one says that it's on the same level of an Avera. So the Gemara says, that's Gemara Gemiri law. That's a tradition. We have Halacha Moshe Sinai. You only make two cemeteries. You don't make four. You don't make separate. So that's a special din of Kuras Haruge Bezna. Then the Gemara learns that also from a pasuk that whoever was deserved the punishment of Saif, so they don't reuse the sword. The sword that they use to chop off his head is buried within Dalai Lamas of the person. You don't bury him right. You don't bury the sword right next to him. Or they did chenek, so the scarf that they used to give them the chenek, so they buried that scarf. Or the skilo, if they had to kill him, first skilo, you push him off of a house, and he falls down. So if he doesn't survive that, then you have to throw stones on him. The Gemara says that the stones that we used to kill him should be buried in Tfusas HaMes, within Dalai Lamas of the Mes himself. So that's a special aspect of Kvuras Harugi Bezin. So everyone agrees that Kfuras Harugi Bezdin has a special status. Machlokes HaTanaim is, what about Kfuras Shar Mesim? Is it Deraisa Derabanan? So we assume that it's also Deraisa, but the original mitzvah in the Torah Shebichsav is Kfuras Harugi Bezdin that has a special status, special halachos. The mitzvah to bury the mesim in the same day, there's a problematic Rashi on Chumash. Rashi says that all men were created b'tzelem elokim kikilas elokim talui. Out of kavod habrias, you have to bury all the mesim on the same day. The Rambam takes issue with the Rashi. He says it's not correct. If it depends on tzelem elokim, so the non-Jews are also created b'tzelem elokim. So there'll be a chiyuv kvura on the nochrim. There is no such din. A mitzvah's kvura is only on Yisraelim. So it must be that we assume all of mankind, all the Nochem are created B'Tzelem Alekim, but only Bnei Yisrael are considered Barim Lamachim. So Kikilas Alekim Taloi is there's a din of Bizoyin HaMesa if you don't bury on the same day because we are all Barim Lamachim, not so much because we're Tzelem Alekim, because Barim Lamachim. Either Ramban says, but there's a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua that says Beferish that they buried when they killed the Lamed Aleph Malachim, they hung them up, and then it says they took them down, they buried them on the same day to fulfill what it says in the Chumash, Kavadik Berena Bayamahu. So the problem is that they were Nochrim. The Ramban quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that by Nochrim there is no mitzvah kvura. And he gave this whole explanation, the difference between Barim Lamachim and Selim Alekim. But the Pasuk in Yeshua says they had to bury them to fulfill the din of burying on the same day. So Ramban says in Eretz Yisrael that's the din. That's only din in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to leave Mesei Akum around. But in Chutz La'aretz, the mitzvah kvura only applies to Mesei Yisrael, and there is no aspect of Lose Tamei Esad Moscha. That's a problem in the Israeli medical schools. How do they have cadavers? There's a din Lose Tamei Esad Moscha. You're not allowed to leave it around. So now that I think some of them are moving to... So the medical schools all over the world, instead of using cadavers, they're using, they're learning anatomy online. I think they probably would be better doctors if they do a real deal with a body, with a real body, but that's what they do now, they're moving it. And then the Knesset passed a law, they're not allowed to do any work on non-Jewish bodies, only on Jewish bodies. Jewish bodies you're not allowed to. Jewish bodies, you're not allowed to work on. Kohanim is, forget about Kohanim, too much on these, even non-Kohanim. The Poskim said that there were three prohibitions. There's an Issa Halonis on Mace, you're supposed to bury the Mace. Then there's an Issa Hanoah, Mace is also Hanoah. Mace is Yisola, also Hanoah. And you're getting Hanoah from it, you're learning anatomy from the Mace. And then they said there's an Issa Nivala Mace, because you cut up the body. That's an additional Issa of Nivala Mace, the Bimavazana Mace. So now the Knesset doesn't allow them to use Arab bodies and Jewish bodies, the Torah doesn't allow. So they have no choice. So all the religious people have to go to learn anatomy online without really dealing with a body. When the Torah formulates the din of tzitzis, so it says, "Gedilim tasel chol abba kampus kuzcha asher techase bo." What does that mean? Asher techase bo. What that? So the Gemara says there's a machlekes amoraim. What it means? So one Amora says, "What if I have a four-cornered garment in the drawer, klei kufsa? I have a beged that has four corners in the drawer. I didn't wear it yet." So that's a machlekes amoraim. Whether you chayv in tzitzis or not, this tzitzis achayv as mona. The beged, the kli is mechuyev tzitzis, the chayv is gavra, only when you wear it. I remember many years ago, the YU gave an honorary degree to Agnon. And they gave him, I think, some kind of a piece of paper that says, honoris causa, whatever it said there. So he was a kibbutzer, so he got up and lampered all the time, was talking about whether tzitzis is a chavis gabra, chavis mana, it's a chepza. He made a whole joke out of him. He's a learned person. He wrote a lot of stories based on the fact that he learned he came from Galicia. So he wrote stories about the city that he lived in Galicia. So the accepted psak halacha is that the chavis, the tzitzis is only a chiv when you're wearing the garment. Asher techasebo. When you're not wearing it, there's no mitzvah to put on tzitzis. So klei kufsa, if I have a talis in the drawer, and I'm not ready to put it on until a special talis Rosh Hashanah, white on white. But the Yekis, they wear special talis Rosh Hashanah, white on white, doesn't have any black stripes in it. So you're not chayim in tzitzis until you're interested in wearing it. Goes by you're not wearing it, you're not mechuyim. So that's how we assume the pshat is in asheta chasebo. According to the other opinion in the Gemara, that if it's roi lelevisha, even though you're not wearing it, you're mechuyim to put on tzitzis, an opinion that's not accepted. So what does it say, asheta chasebo? Gemara says it goes prat le tachrichim. If the guy, a real yakin, he prepares in advance, he bought his tachrichim already, he left instructions when he dies, they should bury him with these, and the tachrichim have four corners. So tachrichim are not mechuyev in tzitzis. Even if your old tzitzis is a chayvez beged, and kleikufs are chayvez in tzitzis, that's only a beged that you plan to wear during your lifetime. But if you only plan to wear the tachrichim after you die, that's a lack of asher techasabot. So everyone would agree that you're not chayiv in tzitzis. Torah has a lot of the prohibited marriages are listed off in this week's seder. The mamzer with the mitzvah, the daimi, and amoni mayavi, all of these psukim. And then it says, p'tzuodaka kru shovcha. P'tzuodaka is a question, what the masor is. How do you spell the word daka? Daka is spelled dalech kafei or dalech kafalef. So the different Sifrei Torah, half of them have spelled with a hey, half of them spelled with an aleph. This is a question, when you have a Sefer Torah that's missing one letter, so it's puzzle. The Rambam quotes, Sefer Torah shechasar esachas. Not all the Rishonim agree, but that's what the Rambam writes. Sefer Torah shechasar esachas is psula. So every Sefer Torah is a 50-50 chance, it's chasar esachas, because psula daka is a problem. So how can you ever say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? We paskin like the Rambam and the Mishnah and Torah. The Rambam in the Tshuva writes, you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a puzzle of Sefer Torah. But the Rambam in the Mishnah and Torah backed out from what he wrote in the Tshuva, because the Mishnah quotes the Tshuva Sarashbo, who was asked about this, that there's a contradiction between the Tshuva Sarambam and the Mishnah Torah. So the Rashba says, the Rambam changed his mind. The Rambam, when he wrote the Mishnah Torah, changed his mind, and he said, you can only say bracha if you have a kosher Sefer Torah. So every Sefer Torah is a 50-50 chance that it's puzzle. The word tzodaka could be that it's spelled incorrectly. So that's a murderous kasha. How does anybody say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? So the Minchas Chinuch gives the answer that's the accepted answer. He says, Sefer Torah shechasar esachas means it's missing a letter or it's spelled incorrectly. Let's say they spelled the word noyach. In Yiddish folklore, they speak about spelling noyach with seven mistakes. You start the word with a final nun. That's right away wrong. Then you write noyach, vav, yud, noy, alach, an aleph, and then a small chaf instead of a final chaf, and it should be a ches. So I think, does that add up to seven mistakes? That's on Yiddish, there's an expression. He spelled noyach with seven mistakes. So mamish, that's spelled incorrectly. He spelled noyach with a long nun, or with a chaf instead of a ches, noyach. That's incorrect. But psuadako, both spellings are correct in a dictionary. One is Hebrew, one is Aramaic. The only question is, what is the Masora here? Is it supposed to be written Tzodaka in Hebrew with a He, Tzodaka in Aramaic with an Aleph? So if you have a word that according to the dictionary is spelled correctly, but according to the Masora is not spelled correctly, so you should correct it, but you can't say the Sefer Torah is possible. That's the Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Unless you have a Kriyuk Siv, he says, if you have Asholoch Homa. So here Asholoch Homa is spelled Asholoch Homa Lamed Aleph, and the Kriya is Asholoch Homa with a Vav. So if it's spelled, or let's say Ishacher Yishgaleno, and it's written Yishgaleno, so it's supposed to be a Kriya Siv, it's supposed to be written one way, so it's to be read, pronounced a different way. So if they spelled it the way it's supposed to be pronounced, not according to the Ksiv, they spelled it in the Sefer Torah according to the Kri, that'll possibly be it. But if he didn't violate Kri Ksiv, so there's no room to puzzle, just they spelled the word differently from the way, the spelling is not incorrect according to the dictionary, grammatically the spelling is not incorrect, it just doesn't correspond to the Masorah. So the Minchas Chinuch has a suggestion, that's a generally accepted suggestion. That wouldn't puzzle a Sefer Torah B'dieved. So within those who follow the Minchas Chinuch's suggestion, they raise the question, the word Na'aro appears in the Chumash many times, and most of the time it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh. And we read it Na'aro, you don't read it Na'ar. So that's a question, is that a Kriyuk Siv? It's written Na'ar, and we read it Na'aro. Or do you say, no, there are two correct ways to spell the word Na'aro. In biblical Hebrew, can be spelled Nun Irish, can be spelled Nun Irish. So if it's a Kriya Ksiv, you write it one when you pronounce it differently, so then the Minchas Chinuch thinks that a Kriya Ksiv should pass al b'dieved. But if you say it's not a Kriya Ksiv, there are two correct ways in biblical Hebrew to spell the word Na'aro. So then if you wrote it Nun Ay Resh, it was supposed to be written Na'ar, but you're supposed to read it Na'aro. So that's not, you didn't write it according to the Kriya as opposed to the Ksiv. That's the Ksiv. The two correct ways to spell the word Na'aro, so it wouldn't possibly have it. So that's a deal that the latest form had. The Minchas Chinuch died 100 years ago, so those after the Minchas Chinuch raised this issue. What if you spell the word Na'aro the way we spell it, Nun Ayin Resh?
Don't we bask in that we're not the Kibbeh, so it's not a problem anyway, or that doesn't work here?
No, Chaseros means a different thing. Let's say... the word Aharon, Aleph, Hey, Resh, Vav, Nun. So usually it's spelled without a Vav. In modern Hebrew, in the newspapers, they always spell everything Mole. They make it easier to read. So if you have, so that the Minchas Chinuch would say, if you wrote something Mole, it's supposed to be Mole, you wrote it Chose. It's supposed to be Chose, you wrote it Mole. He would say also that wouldn't possibly have it if both are correct spellings. In the dictionary, there are two correct ways to spell the word. The Ramah says if you have a Sefer Torah that has Mole instead of Chaser, you don't take out, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, you find that it's a Mole instead of a Chaser, you don't take out another Sefer Torah in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah to lane the more correct Sefer Torah, because maybe an Ein on a Bikim, a Chaser is Viseris, and maybe the other one is possible. Maybe this one is more kosher than the other one. So the Ramah is assuming that if you have a Mole instead of a Chaser, Chaser instead of a Mole, it would possibly be Yevit. So that's a problematic statement that he makes. Ain't only became a chaser, so all the Sefer Torah puzzle then. Everything is puzzle. What did he mean to say? According to the Minchas Chinuch, the answer is they're all kosher. Even if it's absolutely wrong, it should have been a chaser. Aharon is rarely spelled with a vav in the middle. In modern Hebrew, they always spell it with a vav in newspapers. But if you spell it with a vav, it's not incorrect. It's not an incorrect spelling. It's not in accordance with the Masorah, but according to the Minchas Chinuch, it wouldn't passel in the Sefer Torah. We have a din that when a person is davening or learning, you're not allowed to daven keneged erev, not allowed to daven keneged tzoah, not allowed to daven keneged neiraglayim. Yeah, it's learned out from today's Sedra. Today's Sedra is talking about the soldiers in the army. It doesn't say a word about learning, about davening. How did they figure this out? The Netziv raises that question. How did they figure this out? To learn out from the psukim that you're not allowed to daven, and you're not allowed to learn Torah, keneged erev, keneged tzoy, keneged neiraglayim. Very strange. The Netziv gives a very strange answer. He says that he quotes many sources. The Netziv is a fantastic baki. His son, Rab Chaim Balin, and Rab Meir Bar Ilan, were brothers. They're both sons of the Netziv. Chaim Balin was older. He was from the first wife of the Netziv, Rab Meir Bar Ilan. Was from the second wife of the Netziv. First wife passed away. And she was much younger than her husband. So Rav Chaim Balin wrote about his father that Rabbonim and people, professors, would come from all over Europe to visit his father in Volozhin to ask him Mar Mekonis, if he knew Mar Mekonis, because he was a fantastic Baki. So the Netziv puts together Mar Mekonis from all over the place to indicate that all wars in the world are because of Bittul Torah. The Vietnamese war, all the wars in the world are our fault. The Goyim say like that also. We're responsible for all the wars in the world. So the Gemara says like that. We are responsible for all the wars in the world. and the Gemara says, "Bezchus limud haTorah, we will be victorious in battle." The Gemara in Makkos has that in the pasuk, "Am nesai raglenim b'sharach Yerushalayim." Am nesai raglenim b'Muhammad. The soldiers are successful in battle in the schus of Shari Yerushalayim, the Shorim Hamtzonim Ba'alocha, and the yeshivas in Yerushalayim, they're learning Torah, so that's why the soldiers are successful on the battlefront. Okay, so the Netziv quotes many, many Mar Mekonis. He drowns it down with all of his Mar Mekonis, unbelievably. He quotes Mar Mekonis from all other places to demonstrate that this is our tradition. And then he said, then he has his original suggestion. So in order to be successful in battle, they probably had a battalion of soldiers who was on the front who was sitting and learning. So when the Torah says you have to be careful from Tzoya and Erva Meraglayim, because of that battalion of souls, because they're sitting and learning, that's, you're not allowed to learn Torah Keneged. The Pashup Shat is not like that. They're sitting in Yerushalayim and learning. They're not sitting on the front and learning. There are bullets flying around over there. Why should they sit and learn over there? So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is different. Pashup Shat is, the Pasuk says the reason why you have to have Kedushas HaMachna, Ki Hashem Alakech Mesalach Bekerav Machanech Lahatzil Echo. The Pasuk says the Rebbeinu Shalom promises that he's going to be there to help, that there's going to be a Hashuas HaShechina. So out of respect for the Shechina, that's why you have to be careful for Tzoya Omeraglayim, because of the Kedushas HaMachna, Ki Hashem Alakech Mesalach Bekerav Machanech Lahatzil Echo. So that's why every Muhammad has the status of a Dovah Shebikdusha. So just like because the Shechina is there, so you have to be careful for Tzoy Meraglaim and Erva, so too when you learn Torah, when you daven, you should also have to be careful. So the Gemara has in the end of the first parak in Erevin, there's a Mishnah, Bo Dvar Patra Ba Machana. When the Jewish army goes to battle, so there are four kulas that the Chachamim introduced. So the Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the page there, at the end of the first parak in Erevin, the Chananel quotes the Yerushalmi that there are three different opinions. How many soldiers have to be together in one group that has the status of a machna, that you have these kulas, that you don't have to wash maim rishayim, and you're allowed to take eitzim from anywhere to keep warm, to make a bonfire, and so on. How many soldiers do you have to have? So there's one opinion you have to have at this 12,000 soldiers, one opinion 100 soldiers, one opinion 10. We paskin 10. The Magen Mishnah says we paskin 10. Why? Adov shebikdusha. What do you mean adov shebikdusha? The Machne Yisrael has a special status because, as the Pasuk says, Ki Hashem alakech mesalach bekerav machanech lahatzil lech v'lo sevecha biyadecha, because of the Hashuas HaShechina. So the Shechina will only be sure if you have 10 Jews. So that's what the Chazon Ish writes. The Magen Mishnah says we paskin 10 soldiers. So he says after people who are mitzdarfim to a minion, if it's a person who's an apikoris, and the Rambam says an apikoris, the Rambam writes in the Tshuva, an apikoris not mitzdarfim to a minion, so they wouldn't be mitzdarfim to constitute a machne Yisrael. And then the 10 people have to be within a certain closeness to each other. If you have 10 people in the machne Yisrael, one is in Tel Aviv, and one is in Yerushalayim, one is in Har Etzion, in 10 different places. That's not an army. They have to be together. How close do the soldiers have to be together that they should be mitzuraf yachad to a minyan? Well, how close do people have to be together if they want to? Let's say people are on the grass. If the people, 10 people in a room, so the room is mitzaref them. If you have 9 people in one room, 9 people in the other room, so they're not mitzarefim, the Mishnah Berurah says, not mitzarefim yachad because they're two different rooms. What if not in the room? They're outside on the grass. How far away can they be? They can be 100 yards away from each other and still not start from. So the Chazon Ish comes up with a ninefold within 70 amas v'shirayim. Shivim amas v'shirayim. Shivim amas v'shirayim is a din d'araisa. Okay. The Gemara learns enough from a pasuk. Shivim amas v'shirayim is a din that you get to houses. When a house is mitzdarfim to the ear, you have a layout of a city, and then you keep on having another house, another house, another house. So the ear keeps on extending, provided each house is within 70 amas to change. Shivim amas v'shirayim to the next house. So I thought that was a fantastic chiddush. It's a shiur tzira from people, how close the people are. I still am not used to it. The Pashto says that it's only on houses, on things that are attached to the ground. It doesn't go on people. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. They have to be within shivim amas v'shirayim to each other. And then if you have 10 people, then the Shechina is going to be there. Hashem alakecha. So the 10 Jewish soldiers fighting Melchamas Hashem for the Jewish people is a Dovah Shebikdusha. That's why you need Kedusha Samachna.
Do you pass him like that Jewish Rambam for Tefillah? Not because he's on the Star of Tefillah?
Rav Moshe Feinstein has a Tshuva. He wasn't aware of the Tshuvah Rambam. The Behetel quotes it. I didn't discover the Tshuva Rambam. He has a whole tshuva. He thinks that you can be mitzarif and apikoros to a minyan.
Apikoros specifically, he says, or
yeah,
like a chote.
No, apikoros, because he says you learn it out from the meraglim, and the meraglim were apikorsim. The Gemara says because they said kichazaku mimenu, mimenu. They meant that the nations, the umas who live in Eretz Yisrael, are more powerful than the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So the Gemara says that the Meraglim were apikursim. The Gemara learns out that you need 10 people to constitute a minion in Dovshe B'Kedusha, Parchas Me'asara, is learned out of Moslei Dohara Hazos, Yotzi Yoshua B'Kolim. So they, Dohara, was 10 people, and they were apikursim. That's Rabbi Moshe writes. It's a chiddush. In Shulchan Aruch, the Behetu quotes the Rambam. I thought that's the accepted opinion. Apikursim, not mitzvah. Apikursim, Dina Kakam. Not mitzvah to a minion.
How would we define an
apikoros
nowadays? We're not
going to pass
on like
Ramosha.
Then what
constitutes
an apikoros?
We usually, someone who doesn't believe in the Ikori Hamuna. That's a shaila. What if he's an apikoros b'shoigeg? There's also a dina kapim. So that's a big machloikas. Safik and the Chazon Ish, what the din is. What's the din of apikoros b'shoigeg? He was educated like that. He was brought up by his parents like that. The Rambam says an apikoros b'shoigeg, you don't penalize him. You don't say maridim v'lo malim. You don't try to do grammar tzicha on him. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim, whether apikoros din hakakum is a din deraisa or it's a penalty midirabbanan. So if it's a penalty midirabbanan, then it doesn't make sense to penalize the guy if he's an apikoros b'shoigeg. But if it's a din deraisa, that's it. That's a din deraisa. Apikoros din hakakum has an incomplete din of Yisroel. So then even if it's b'shoigeg, if he's not Jewish, he's not Jewish. There's a lot more in today's sedra, but the time doesn't permit. Okay. So Sunday is Gemara?
Yeah.
No vote.
No vote.
Okay. Sunday is Gemara. Okay. One of the boys is getting married, so I gotta finish at 1 o'clock. I can't stay late. Wednesday, I probably will not be able to give it to you. As it looks now, I'm going to have to go. My daughter, who just moved to California, just had a